All right, so this is week 8. We are wrapping up our series, Values and Vision. And we said we're gonna do something a little unconventional. Instead of just having a vision week at the beginning of the year, we are going to root in to values. Because we've said this, the power of a vision, meaning a preferred future we want to move in the direction of, the power of a vision does not rely on how well the vision is cast, it relies on how far the vision is carried. That in order for us to work together in the direction of this vision God's put in front of us to help families at all phases connect and grow in their faith together, to help people at all ages and stages take steps in their relationship with God, choosing to believe in Jesus, get baptized, to begin to involve themselves in community service and generosity, to reach new people with the gospel. If we want to see that vision realized, we must be united around a set of values, because values inform our behaviors. We use this phrase, culture eats strategy for breakfast every day. That methods can be great, but culture is attitudes and behaviors. Culture is informed by our values. What matters most to us? And a value is not a real value unless real action is applied to that value. Otherwise, it's just empty words. And so we've spent 7 weeks unpacking what our values are: confession and worship, gathering, prayer, generosity, and people. If you've missed any of those, you can go back and watch those online, and we can unpack those throughout the year as we will continue to root into these things. But they are not words, they are actionable values. We hold to these so we can apply these to our lives. And the entire time we've been unpacking this conversation of our values, we've looked at what those values are and why they matter to God's church. And we've been using the early church 2,000 years ago when it started in this book in the New Testament called Acts. In fact, you can find it in your phone or you can turn there now. We've been in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. We've been in there the entire 7 weeks, and we've you know, supplemented that with some other New Testament scriptures, but our you know, launch pad for our values and vision conversation has been the early church, because the early church did not have a playbook. They only had values. They did not have strategies that they could experiment with and adopt and apply. They had the greatest mission ever given to any group of people, what we call the Great Commission, to help people everywhere, everyone, know and follow Jesus, this message of the gospel. That's what they had. And so they started from scratch with their faith and each other, nothing else, moving in the direction of that mission. And they applied themselves to the work of the gospel as they were devoted to a set of values. And for the last 7 weeks, we've been unpacking those values. And this week, we're gonna wrap up our conversation, and I'm forewarning you, by getting very personal. This is gonna paint the full picture. Because if you're like me, we've been unpacking these values and we've said, look, this is why this set of values, they're timeless, they never go out of style. They have reached people and moved the mission of the gospel forward for generations, thousands of years. And so we can understand why these values matter to our church by understanding why they mattered to the church. But this week, we're gonna wrap this whole thing up and paint the full picture. Because if you're like me, you've wondered throughout the series, maybe, and I knew this was coming, but maybe you did not, that how, okay, what do I do on a personal level? What do I do with this values and vision series? Well, I'm glad you asked. The reason these values are values for the church are because they are values for the Christian. And that's what we're gonna lean into this week. And so my desire is that the picture becomes clear. Has anybody, all right, I think it's on, I'm sure it's on some form of streaming service, I don't know. But when I was a kid, I would go to my grandma's house. She was a painter, and she would put this local television show on called The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross. Is anybody familiar? Great, a lot of Bob Ross fans. Okay, one year I got a Bob Ross chia head pet doll thing. for Christmas. I loved Bob Ross. And I would go to Daddle, that's my grandma's name. We called her Daddle. She thought it was because I couldn't say devil when I was younger. It wasn't. I don't know where Daddle came from. But Daddle's house, she would always be playing Bob Ross because she was a painter. And I would sit and I would watch. And if you've ever seen, like if you're unfamiliar with Bob Ross, I mean, he's such a sweet, mild man, you know, and he would paint, he would put this canvas up, and he'd be like, I'm going to touch a little of the thaline blue and the apricot yellow and the, and just all the, and then he would start doing stuff, and he would look, he was like, and I think, you know what, I think a happy little tree wants to live right here. And then he'd paint, he's like, and then I think our friend Mr. Squirrel wants to live in that tree. We're going to put our friend, Mr. And you're watching him do this, and you're like, that is the ugliest thing I have ever seen. You're watching this man start to paint, and it's like, that looks like I could have just picked up paint and thrown it at the canvas and looked better than that, because you can't see where he's going, right? And then there's a certain point at the last, like, 3 or 4 minutes of the show where he takes a brush of some kind, starts doing, and like a wizard, all of a sudden just poof, and you're like, that is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my life. And it all comes together. Church. My desire for this week's conversation is this is our Joy of Painting Bob Ross episode for this series. This is to all come together, because here's the big tagline conversation that I want all of us to take with us. Notice this, because I want you to look at something in Acts 2:42, because I'm going to say something and we're going to unpack it. The Lord grew their fellowship because the Lord grew their faith. So, if you're in Acts 2:42, follow along screen or on your phone or in your actual Bible like I have right here. And it says this, Acts 2:42, all the believers, there's that word again, all, I double checked it, I triple checked it, I quadruple checked it. In the Greek, that word all means the same thing, everybody. All the believers, what's that word? Devoted themselves. Remember, that word devotion means a single-minded fidelity to a certain course of action. That's what that word means. So here's what I want you to do. And don't just stare at me right now. I want you to actually do this. I want you to look to your left. I can see you, right? So when I say do this, I can actually see you not doing this. Look to your left, look to your right, look behind you, look in front of you. All the believers were embracing a single-minded fidelity to a certain course of action. Picture this with me. Picture this. And they were devoted to what? The apostles' teachings. The apostles, these early group of disciples, Jesus' followers who spent years with him, they were teaching the things Jesus taught them. We have the word of God, this complete picture. They had the teachings of Jesus. They had the Old Testament scriptures. These early believers were devoted to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to gathering intentionally together, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to what? Prayer. Again, I don't know if you know this. We have a prayer meeting at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. You are all invited to that. There is no powerful church without prayer. We ask God to bless his church because we are relying on God. Because I'm going to say this. You know what? We interrupt this portion of scripture for me to say something that's just not a part of things. But man, I've done ruined all decorum at this point out the gate in this message. But I'm just going to say this right now. Maybe you're new or whatever. Oh, that's funny. There's personality. That's great. But church, can I just tell you right now? Personalities come and go. They ebb and flow. We should use what God has given us to the fullest. I will humbly say that what God has put in me to do, I will do to the best of my ability. But make no mistake, we will not rely on that to grow God's church. We will not rely on programs to grow God's church. Programs have to be updated and upgraded every time if you win people with programs. But when you grow through people, that's when your church makes a dent. Notice this early church. No programs. They had some personalities. One of the guys cut a guy's ear off. I don't know that that's the kind of personality you want behind the pulpit. You're like, oh, sorry, I was late to our volunteer team meeting. Don't do it with that guy. He's got a temper. Be with the other guy. Be with the other guy. I'm going to say this. We don't need more programming. We don't need more personalities. We got plenty of that. You know what we need? The church needs God's people. Rooted, devoted, united to a set of values that reflect the heart of God, who engage their world with a gospel mindset. So I told you we were getting personal today. So in our Joy of Painting episode with Bob Ross Way of Doing It, we are getting personal. It says, a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Jesus had equipped them to do that for that season so that they would be able to point people to this hope and this truth of the gospel. And here's the word again, all the believers met together in one place. They shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. In verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And here it is. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Something unique happens, and you miss it if we don't look at it closely. When this early group of Christians were given the mission of taking the gospel to the world, what they were invited to do was this from Jesus Christ: repent, trust in me, and follow me. And they said, you are Lord. We confess that with our mouths. We believe that in our hearts, and we are going to follow your way. Nowhere in that sequence of events were they given a picture that if you do these things, you're going to create the first mega church in the history of the world. Nowhere. What do we notice? Because it's big, and you'll miss it if you don't pay attention closely to what's going on. All the believers devoted who? Themselves to these things. Do you know what happened? And then it says this. And that word "and" is in there on purpose. As a result, in addition, as a consequence of, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Their devotion to the mission of the gospel, their unification around a set of timeless values, is what fueled their efforts. And because they were devoted to a set of values that reflect the heart of God and move the mission forward, God moved through his church. God grows his church when God's people grow. Notice they grew in their fellowship because they grew in their faith. When you grow in your faith, you live out your faith. So you become devoted to the things that God wants us to be devoted to. Our priorities reflect his priorities. So God's church grows when God's people grow. God's church reaches people with the gospel when God's people are moved by the work of the gospel in our own lives. So that as we grow in our faith, we live out our faith. Notice something really fascinating about the early group of Jesus' followers who up close, in real time, in person, followed Jesus. They were given this charge to make disciples. They were given this mission. But do you notice that every single one of them, consider this for just a moment, started with a personal relationship with Jesus. And as a result, they pursued Christ. They pursued a relationship with God. They were fueled by this relationship. They were motivated by this relationship. They knew Jesus. They followed Jesus. And because they believed with every ounce of their being that Jesus is the only eligible hope for the world, they wanted everyone everywhere to know that same love, that same peace, that same grace, that same joy, that same truth, that same gospel. So what did they do? They devoted themselves to moving the mission of the gospel forward with everything they had. I'm gonna say this, and it's gonna get up in everybody's face, but in forewarning, I said we were getting personal today, so I've already braced us for this. Our society values choices more than we value commitments. And accountability is a lost or forgotten or abandoned pursuit. But can I tell you, church, the early church leaned in to accountability and into commitment together. They were devoted together. They were all in. It is so easy in our 21st century Americanized way of thinking, specifically in churches, that if we got some really cool stuff, and if there's that one guy who says some funny or quippy things sometimes and we put it out on the internet, and we've got this really great program over here, that we're gonna check all the boxes of church growth and effectiveness. And so what do? We rely on everything outside of our personal relationship with God to actually move the mission of the gospel forward. That has never been the way God designed his church to operate. In Acts 2:42, what does it say? All the believers devoted themselves to these values. Here it is. If we want to continue, because we are, if we want to continue to grow in our fellowship, we must continue to grow in our faith. These are values for our church because they are values for the Christian. That if we grow in our faith, we live out our faith. Because things happen when you start to live out your faith. What happens? We start to reach out and invite people. We're doing that. I just shared stories at the onset of our conversation today. We reach out and we care for people. We see people the way God sees people, so we treat people the way God sees people. We look for opportunities to serve. We give generously of our time, of our abilities, of our monetary resources. We learn to desire God's word. You get a hunger for the truth of God through the word of God, and you will need to feed on that to navigate through life, and you'll start to crave it. We prioritize gathering with God's people. Because as we all experienced not 30 minutes ago, singing, God, you moved in power then, you move in power now. It is spectacularly unique for God's people to be gathered together to lift up the name of God. When you're growing in your faith, you desire to do that. We look forward to worshiping together. Things happen when you grow in your relationship with God. It changes us from the inside out. And because it changes us from the inside out, it changes his church from the inside out. You can't fish without being a fisherman. That pole is not gonna go cast itself. But why? So I'm gonna say this and maybe cast a little bit of vision this morning, if I may. As the person who serves in this seat of lead pastor, I believe with every ounce of my being that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe with my heart that God raised him from the dead and that he is the only hope that lasts. I will echo by saying this. The board of this church believes that very same confession with every ounce of their being. The deacons of this church believe that confession with every ounce of their being. The people who serve on teams here in this church believe that with every ounce of their being. The reason is this: people need Jesus today and tomorrow. If you are walking with Jesus, guess what? You still need Jesus. And when we leave here, there are people in our lives who do not know the Jesus we know, and he was the same Savior then as he is now. If that is the confession that moves the heart of the Christian, then God will move the work of the church in ways that only he can, because his people are growing in their faith, and we will see him grow us in our fellowship. Those who are what? Being saved. No early follower of Jesus who started this church, said, great, we're reaching people every day. You know what that means? I just hit 1,000 followers on Instagram. No Instagram. You try to teach somebody about Instagram 2,000 years ago. You're like, yeah, it's this thing. You put it out on the internet. They're like, internet? It goes out online. On the line? Online. On the line? I can't with you. They're not going to understand that. None of these people did anything for selfish. Think about it. The very person they followed, Jesus Christ, they got together and murdered him. And they all said, sign me up. Sign me up because I believe that's the only way to God. So I'm going to give. And nothing was done out of selfish ambition. Do you know why it was done? Here's what's nuts. Don't miss this. And the Lord added to their fellowship. Why? They were concerned about honoring God with their lives and following Jesus. And they were told, if you're gonna choose to follow Jesus, you're gonna live out your faith and you're gonna tell other people about Jesus. And they said, great, 2 + 2 = 4. That's what you want us to do? That makes sense, we'll do it. Never so that they could get their name on a trophy, clout on the internet, esteem in society. In fact, the name Christian was a derogatory term that they would eventually be given for their behaviors. Why did they do what they did? Because they were devoted to the mission of the gospel and they wanted to pursue a personal relationship with their Savior, Jesus. And then God did what God does when God's people devote themselves to God's way. That's the Bob Ross Joy of Painting full picture conversation. Church, God is moving in and through the life of his church. We've seen it for the last 8 weeks. We are continuing to ask God to do this. The conversations I have as I get introduced to friends and neighbors and coworkers who sit out and talk with me and talk with other pastors and other ministry leaders, our students who are inviting their students to church. I'm gonna say this, you ever been to a sports game? Anybody ever been to a sports game at a college, like at a university, like a college sports game? You know what they do at those? They do this thing called the wave. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're over 40, you're like, oh, I don't wanna have to do this. I'm not gonna ask you to do this. They start this thing at the wave, you know, they look like that blow up doll at the car dealership. You know what I mean? The wave, you know what I'm talking about? They start it. You know what I've noticed at college sports? Games, the wave always starts in the student section. They're the ones that get excited about it. The rest of us are like, oh, come on, man, I can hear my knees before I see my knees in the morning. I don't want to do that. But then you get excited because the student started the wave. You know, it's awesome. Can I tell you this? We baptized a student a few weeks ago, and this week I walked in to say hello to our student team, and I met a friend of the student who was baptized. Do you know why? Students are inviting their friends to church because Jesus matters to them and they love their friends. Let's take a cue. Church, the wave starts in the student section and it is starting because now I'm having conversations with the rest of us and we are reaching out. We're not reaching out so we can get our name on a trophy. We're not reaching out. I want you to know, no one gives me extra points. I'm just gonna shoot straight with you. Guess what? As a pastor, people still bring their complaints to you, even when you're reaching people with the gospel. That might shock you. None of that changes. I go home to Robin, Hope, and Silas like I do every single week, and I am responsible to love my God and to love my family. No matter how many people sit in the seats of this church, none of that matters when it comes to who I am as a person, who we are as a church, is not for clout. Not because we're trying to make a name for ourselves. We do what we do, and I am challenging and encouraging and exhorting our church to move on mission with the gospel, not so we can say, look at sunrise, but we can say, know the Savior. That's why we do everything we do. So, as we've gotten real personal today, what do we do with this? I'm gonna give you three things, and because I'm a preacher from the South, they're going to alliterate. Here's what they are. Three things for us to move on mission and be united around these values to work together in the direction of our vision. First, be prepared. Now, when I say that, there's a few of us that now all of a sudden start to sing that Lion King song in our heads. You're welcome for that. You know what be prepared means? It just means be ready. Get ready. Notice that none of these folks in the early church, none of them were just like, we got to be devoted to this. And God's adding to our, they were devoted. They met regularly. They were, you know what it is? You know how you get prepared? You focus on growing intentionally. Growth doesn't happen accidentally. That takes work. You want a healthier marriage? It takes work. You want a healthier relationship with your family? It takes work. You want a healthier relationship with people at work, your neighbors, your friends? It takes work. Your relationship with God, no different. It takes work. We gather together for worship to learn from God's word together. We don't do this because it's an arbitrary thing, because the weekend happens every weekend. We do this because we are preparing ourselves to navigate life as a Jesus follower. Knowing Jesus as your Savior, believing in Jesus, that will get you to heaven. Following Jesus as Lord of your life, that's gonna lead you through life. I don't know, has anybody else experienced maybe in your time on earth so far that sometimes life is hard? Has anyone experienced that? Six of us? Great. So the rest of us have it really, really good, or we're all a bunch of liars? Life is real. Life is real and doesn't let up. But Jesus told his early followers, you're gonna have trials, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Be prepared. We grow in our faith so we can live out our faith. But you notice what it says? Added to their what? Fellowship. Here's the kicker. We grow in our faith together. Individually, we pursue Jesus. So collectively, we pursue Jesus. And when we do that, we are preparing ourselves for what God will do. The second thing is this, be patient. Be patient. Relationships take patience. You may be new to this Jesus journey and you're like, man, Scott, I'm still struggling with A, B, C, and D. Man, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you might struggle with A, B, C, and D for the next 40 years of your life. But you don't carry it alone. You grow and you bring those to God. And as you submit those, he helps you carry those. Be patient. It takes time. Be patient as a church. You may have invited that friend to church 42 times. Great. Time number 43 might be the time they say yes. Don't stop. You might have cared for that person in your life and not gotten what you wanted in return. Don't stop caring for that person. You don't know what God's gonna do when you exercise a little bit of grace and patience in the life of somebody. As a church, as we endeavor to move the mission forward, let's be patient with each other, be gracious with each other, be patient in the process. And the final thing is this, be persistent. Be persistent. No way, shape, or form should this fledgling group of early Jesus followers who were called derogatory names, dismissed, and discarded in many societal settings. No way, shape, or form would anybody have predicted that this group of Jesus followers we call Christians, through their devotion and persistence, would have resulted in a church in San Diego County, California in 2025, reading of their story and their faith in God. Persistence pays off. Don't grow weary of doing good. It's gonna be hard. So we have to be prepared. We have to lean into God's word. We have to look at God's way. We have to live out our faith and grow in our faith. Be patient in the process. Be patient with each other. Be patient with yourself, but be persistent. Persistence and patience are not on opposite ends of the work spectrum. They actually work hand in hand, because you wouldn't need to be persistent if you didn't need to be patient. And so as a church, let's move in that direction together. And as a follower of Jesus, can I implore you to do these things, to grow in your faith, to pursue a growing personal relationship with Jesus. Nothing will change your life like that. Nothing will fuel your life like that. Nothing will lead you through life and help you navigate life like that. And if we all do that personally, dream with me what God would do collectively. You can paint a vision picture for people and wonder if people are gonna see it. And you can have that Bob Ross joy of painting conversation and wonder, will people see what we really wanna see? You know, when we say vision, we just mean preferred future. Well, we are blessed to have this word of God because, church, I'm gonna give you the picture. It's in Acts 2:42. We just read it. If we grow in our faith, God will grow us in our fellowship. If we are devoted to a set of timeless values that reflect the heart of God, God will move in and through his church. So the personal question for all of us is this: what will I do about this? Because the most important thing in your life is a personal growing relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's your big, tangible takeaway for our Bob Ross Joy of Painting wrapping up our series conversation is this: pursue God. And when you do, watch what God does in and through your life as you devote yourself to a set of values that reflect his heart. And church, when God's people grow in their faith, God's people grow in their fellowship. Be ready to continue seeing, contributing, being a part of, and celebrating what God does when God's people grow in their faith. If you would, pray with me, and we will wrap things up. God, thank you again for your word. I pray that it moves us. That's what I pray. I pray that it moves us. I thank you for moving in and through your people. God, the people that I get introduced to are because your believers are growing in their faith in you, and they want to help others grow in that faith. God, the people I hear stories of being cared for, pursuing fellowship outside the walls of this church are because they are people growing in their faith. You're working in their lives and they're living it out. The stories of generosity, launching new Bible studies in different communities are because people give generously here and it fuels that mission and it builds those inroads through that grateful generosity of your people, God, as this prayer circle of volunteer team members grows every single Sunday morning at 8:20, God. It is because people are growing in their faith. So God, I'm asking you, we are asking you, bless your church. And God, we are asking you, grow our faith so that you would grow our fellowship so that people would know and follow you, Jesus. It is in your name we pray. God bless your church. Amen.